right, so let's make it plain. Welcome back to the Make It Plain Wayne podcast, Elevated Friendship. How do you feel about all this going on? Now, I'm going to tell you how I feel, but how do you feel? Let's make it plain.
All right. So, questions, right? Have you ever had somebody try to hook you up with somebody, you know, put you on a blind date or, you know, surprise, oh my God, such and such is here, or, you know, look who I bumped into, and, you know, they push that person towards you, you know, for that awkward silence. Or maybe, you know, you've had like friends or family try to explain to you like up, down, left, right, that, you know, these two people need to be together, right? And you're just like, no, I don't think she likes him, or I don't think he likes her, or vice versa, you know? I don't think they'd be a good couple, or, you know, this man, or whomever the couple is, you're just like, no, I just don't see it. I talk to them, you know, you got some like inside info. And then worst of all, you can't really say it out loud, but you're in a room full of people that just say, I'm not going to use any specific woman because I got my own examples. Let's say you're in a room and it's like, you know, MTV Music Awards, BET Music Awards, Country Music Awards, whatever kind of award show it is, and you're in a room full of people, and they would give their last dollar, right, their last breath of air, right, to be with this woman or man, whomever, you know, the love interest is, and you don't find them attractive at all. And you get in your feelings about it, you know, when people say that somebody's not attractive to them at all, that you're head over heels for. And it's just because you can't push attraction. You really can't. You really can't push attraction. And here's the thing. If you're ever just, I don't know, out and about, and you happen to just be doing your own thing, minding your own business, and you just like see like a couple that's together, like the dude is just like kind of ugly to you, and the woman is like pretty, or the guy is like, you know, an attractive guy, a little Abercrombie model looking dude, or, you know, somebody that you would seem, you know, who you would think would seem like the type that could get, you know, pretty girls. And he's with a, you know, lady that you just do not, you just don't approve, right? You don't think she's pretty. You don't think she's attractive. She just doesn't do it for you. But they're like head over heels for each other. They're like all over each other. And that's what I'm talking about, right? You can't control attraction. You can't force attraction. And like, I'm like really sad to admit this, but it's just like, you know, your mom, your pops, whoever it is, they might really find some good people, right? But back to what I was saying, what if it's somebody you normally wouldn't pick, but you guys hit it off really well together? So then you got to explore why. So you're not attractive to them at first. You're not, they're not your first attraction, but you guys go off and get married, have a great life, and are happy together and make it to the end of your days, right? And then remember I gave that scenario earlier. I was like, what if those two, you know, what if you overhear like your family or your friends talking about these two people, right? And you know them two people are not going to get together. You just know they're not going to get together. So what is that like factor in between that changes things, right? It's not money. It's not more attractiveness. It's not a cologne or perfume. Like, what is it that changes things? Because The one thing I can honestly say about shows like The Bachelor, they honestly prove it's not about attractiveness. It's really about character. It really has to all boil down to how these people function and move in society together. So if it's not you, then it's somebody else. What are those deciding factors? This is what I think. You look at like other societies, other countries, you know, other economies that seem to kind of partner people up a little bit more traditionally without the romanticism, you know, involved. It is based on the economy. It's two hardworking families that agree that their oldest are now of dating, mating time and should be together, right? It's more of like an economic type thing. But what if that person you weren't attracted to at first ends up being something, somebody that you're like really serious about, like that you really lock eyes with later on in life, and like you guys do some good things together? I think it has to deal with like those core values, right? If they worship the way you worship, if they believe the way you believe or talk the way you talk when it comes to, you know, spirituality, God, heaven, you know, and the afterlife, that's like one really powerful piece. So that's one. I'm just going to do five. So that's one really powerful piece. The number two, relationships. How is their dad, you know, how is their relationship with their dad? How's their relationship with their mom? Do they have mommy, daddy issues? If they got daddy issues, dang. If they got mommy issues, dang. But if they kind of have those mommy daddy issues locked up and you see, wow, he really respects his dad, or she really respects her father, or, you know, her mother. Wow, she really gets along with her mother well, or she really respects her dad and gets along with her dad well. Then you look at the family. Then you look at how mom and dad treat each other. You scope out that whole relationship. You start to look at things like, wow, this would be really good for me compared to my family. Or man, this, you know, is bad right now, but she's already assured me that this is what she doesn't want, or he doesn't want this in his, you know, future scope. So you've got the religious piece, you got the religion and worship and spirituality piece out the way, then relationships, then you got to start, you know, asking, who is this person alone, right? Right? Their hobbies, their likes, their dislikes, their annoying things that they do, like how they stack shoes, do they wash dishes, do they clean, do they not clean, right? You know, who are they when they're alone? Then third is that career button. Like, what are they, you know, what do they want to career/finances? You know, what are they really out in the world? What do they want to be out in the world? And then how do they manage money? How are they from a professional standpoint? How is their financial planning? How is their career planning? What do they want to do with their time and money? You know, and then last but not least, how are they with their friendships? Right? How are they with their friends? You know, do they put their friends before you? Do they never have any friends and constantly drain you and force you to be the fun? You know, how are they with their friends? How are they with their relationships or lack thereof? So when those things, I feel like those things start to come together, then the attractiveness piece is, I don't know. It's not so, it's not so attractive anymore, right? And where this all came from, where this all started, is I'm going to drop some names, so please don't hurt me, because I'm going to give as much respect on top as I can, so y'all don't throw me down a flight of stairs. I asked a buddy of mine, I was like, hey, is there somebody that everybody you know would say, this is the one. This is the most beautiful woman. This is the most attractive woman. I got to have her. I got to be with her and all that, right? This is like the top. You can't do no better. But you don't find her attractive. I was like, who is that woman to you? And I was talking to my buddy. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's Beyonce. He was like, she's flawless. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. She's music, the dance, the hair, all of it. He's like, she is flawless as a woman, but I'm not attracted to her. And then surprise, I was like, okay. I was like, the reason why I'm asking is because of what I went through. This was like, you know, around that time when Jessica Alba had her like run, like she was like the top can I say actress? Because around the time she was out there, there was Kill Bill. There was Mila Jovovich with whatchamacallit? Resident Evil. So, yeah, we got Mila Jovovich. Mila Jovovich, Uma Thurman. No Scarlett Johansson yet. Mila Jovovich, Uma Thurman, Charlize Theron. And yeah, Jessica Alba and, oh, Jennifer Garner. They were doing their thing. They were all doing their thing. And then, boom, she pops up and is, you know, I think she was like in that show Black Angel, which was a lot like Alias and then Orphan Black later on. But Jessica Alba, you know, was flawless. And I was like, I kept feeling like, I was like, God, something's not right here. What is going on? And then it hit me. Cause you know, at this time we had Maxim magazine and all these magazines, Cosmopolitan magazine. If you weren't triggered as a male during the mid to early 2000s, then I know what was going on. If you weren't triggered by any of that, I know what was going on. But you were going to be hot or not. You were going to be on fire or not for whatever was going on. And for, you know, my gay brothers and lesbian sisters out there, you know, they knew what they were doing. We didn't know what we were doing, but they knew what they were doing. They knew the path and the route that they were going. We were still kind of, you know, on the outside, you know, looking in at them when they clearly knew what they were doing. We were the ones not realizing how, you know, barbaric we were being with our emotions and how triggered we were and all this. But I just couldn't get with Jessica Alba. I couldn't lock on to, you know, that thought and that idea of just like not the worship of the pop culture sexual beauties that they put in front of us. But I couldn't force myself to be infatuated with her like, say, somebody else. So when I realized you couldn't force attraction, I started to wonder about all the many ways that people have settled, you know, or just told themselves to just like, just do it, you know, just do it. When they really don't like these people or they're not attracted to them. And so I'm like, the only thing that can save face, the only thing that can help you in that predicament when the attraction isn't there is when all those other bells and whistles, right? Your spirituality, your relationships, your blood relationships, right? Which ties back into psychology and your childhood and your, you know, emotional intelligence, you know, then who you are when you're alone. Like, how are you when you're alone? Your habits, your hobbies, your cleanliness, your hygiene, like all that stuff. Like, it seems boring until it's not. It'll either repel you or pull you in. And then, of course, like I said, like how you are professionally in your career and your financial planning, like that's a big deal. And then so that final piece with your friends, whether you wear them out or you let them wear you out or you don't have any, so you just drain your husband or your wife. Like, I don't know. I don't know what everybody is in all those things, but I do know that if they're not that attractive on the outside, but they're attractive on the inside with all those things, they're going to win you over. So I think the harder part about this message is, you know, for the years that the LGBTQ community has been forced to marry and date and hide how they really feel in order to get out of their town or get out of their city, you know, damage free, pain free, you know, where their mom or their dad might be hiding it, or their mom or their dad might have said something to them that really hurt them and they just bottled it up. And because they couldn't find anybody that they were attracted to or weren't allowed to be attracted to them, they hid it until they were grown, right? And now, I hate to say this, like, I'm meeting people that are 5, 10, 20 years older than me. I did not know they were lesbian. I did not know they were gay because they disguised it so well, right? So, yeah, we're talking about attraction, but this also applies to the LGBTQ crowd as well. So if they're not attracted to somebody, I mean, just think, right? You just take like a gay man or a lesbian woman that comes from a very strong, straight, religious family, right? You got 5 brothers or another family, 5 sisters. All of them go on and get married. They're you know, the classic fufu prissy girl, cheerleaders, swim team, volleyball, track, dance, whatever you would think the classic female stuff is, yearbook, all that. And all of them do that. And then you just got that one, that one that's like a softball player, right? Or a soccer player, or she's a power lifter, or she's in ROTC or whatever it may be, that like she pairs with a little bit more of her masculinity, right? So it's the same with those groups of boys. I mean, you got all these football players, all these jocks, basketball players, hockey players, you know, in the family, and you just got that one, like that one guy that's like knows the words to every musical. It's like he's not straight. And then you're going to force him to love and like, you know, all these people that it's never going to work. And what we're seeing now, especially like the guys on the down low that we classically hear about in Atlanta, maybe they were forced to, you know, based on society, based on the plan, maybe they were forced to get into that marriage and get into that relationship. And later they were just comfortable enough in their own skin to say, you know what? I did what I needed to do. I played the role. I got my kids. What about me? You know, I hate to say it, but it's like, man, they serve themselves last in the table of life. They didn't even put themselves first. They put everybody else first to paint the image, to make it look good. And, you know, when I hate to say it, when these attractions were super duper strong and, you know, couples paired off, and then, I don't know, years later, didn't. Now that, I mean, come on now. You guys see how awkward that is. They were super, super, super attracted to each other. Now they're divorced. So, I don't know. That's where, for me, it's a little sad because the attraction is it deceives you a little bit. So it's like, man, you guys were so head over heels for each other. a straight couple, right? I'm choosing the classic straight couple. They were head over heels for each other, super attracted to each other. Now we get a little bit further down the road in life and they're unattracted to each other. Whatever they had, it's just not working anymore. So what does that mean for everybody else, right? If they're super attracted to each other and they don't work after 10 and 20 years, what's everybody else supposed to do, right? That's kind of a scary thought. So you can't force attraction. I just wanted to drop by and tell you all that you can't force attraction. Don't do it. Don't think that you have the upper hand on telling people what they need to do when you aren't even fully attracted to the person you're with, or you're not even sure what happens to a person after 5, 10, 15, 20 years of marriage, right? Because mentally, you're going to go to different places in your own mind every year. So now we're talking 5, 10, 15, 20 years. What do you think is going to happen to our minds? What do you think is going to happen to our emotions? And then career-wise, you're in charge of people or things or an account that you never could have dreamed of. Now, of course, yeah, you can dream of it, but now that it's reality and you've got that head on your shoulders driving this car, it's completely different. I mean, try to tell yourself from 20 years ago about a Tesla or an iPhone or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I mean, this is really like an age test, especially depending on how old you are. How do you really go back in time and tell yourself how you're going to feel in present day about all this, right? You know, back in time? No. So yeah, there is always going to be that element of the unknown that exists during the attractiveness, right? You're super, super attracted to this person, but what about 5, 10, 15, 20? And I used to ask my now wife that was my girlfriend, I used to ask her this question. I'm like, well, what's going to happen when we're like 40 and 50? Like, are you going to feel that same way? How do you know you're going to feel that same way? You know, and I never understood that when women would ask that those kind of questions. They'd be like, well, if I was in a car accident or if I lost one of my limbs, blah, 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 blah. Like women would try to qualify their way into, you know, the future with you and just see if you were going to be petty or you'd be committed. And that has nothing to do with attractiveness. That's all just conditional. So yeah, you can't force attractiveness. Because even when you do, there's no guarantee that you're going to make it. There's no guarantee. As a matter of fact, the faster you see people sucking on each other's neck and going at each other, the faster you see them doing that might be an indicator that they're going to burn out faster. So I don't know what to tell you. Drive slow, homies. I mean, it's impossible to just drive, you know, slow all the time. Sometimes you do got to speed it up, but that's all I'm saying. You can't force attractiveness. Just like you can't force people to be married 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Can't force anything. So work on you. Work on what you like. Work on what you know. And I think the more we learn ourselves and just dig deeper to calm the storm within, it helps us to understand the people around us a lot better by learning ourselves better. You know, there's my Jerry Springer final thought. But yeah, peace and love, everybody. I love you all. Hope you love me back. You can love, like, and share these messages. I'll see you soon.